afternoon, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I share with you. This afternoon, I'd like to share this topic, blessing of believing God. If somebody asks us, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. I believe in God. Why is it good? And you have to answer for the questions. And also, when you, time that you introduce our believing God to somebody else, that you need to have something to you can share the what, why it's so good, why it is a blessing. So you need to have conveyed to other people. So this topic is blessing of believing God is not for only for myself, but at the same time when we bring this issue to for benefit to us, at the same time it is benefit to for us to preach the gospel to other people. Of course, when we preach the gospel, we can say you have to be baptized, you have to be born again Christians. That is a more detailed way we can explain to them about our way of salvation. But simply we have to explain to them why it is good, why it is a blessing. There's one, it's not our church member, but once he converted Christians, he was so excited about believing God. Every time when he go to his church, he see that there is a fortune teller, you know, the business place in front of the church. So he think about it. Hopefully this kind of a business should not to be in front of the church. So he determined that to let the person, you know, fortune teller to be converted to Christians. So first thing is he prayed to God. God, it's very uncomfortable that every time I go to church, I passing through this fortune teller's house. This is something I feel uncomfortable, so you can do something. Hopefully you give me a courage. Hopefully you can help me so that I can preach the gospel to this man, fortune teller. So remove this business in front of the church. So he prayed to God, and then he opened the door to the fortune teller's house, and hi, and the inside. Fortune teller think that another customer comes, welcome, and then I like to tell you, very, very, you know, it's wonderful things. What is it? Believing God is good. So the fortune teller heard this. You're trying to mess up my business? Go away, you know, and I said, God bless you, and then walk away. So he determined to do this statement every day. So every day he comes to church, and then knocking the door, hi, and open the door, then say, hey, may I help you? Believing God is good. And then just go away. And then after this, you know, the fortune teller, it started bothering him. So one day he prepared for the water that after the wash the dishes things all they prepare, come and just pouring, and then so they started now kind of struggling between the this man, the Christian, and then fortune tellers. So fortune teller usually knocking the door and then put the body outside and then open the door, believing God is good, and they're running away. And this way too, he tried it. So this kind of struggling it for a while. And then one day, the fortune teller, this man have a problem in his household. So it kind of constantly stress on in his life. At that day, one day, it comes into this statement, believing God is good. So, and this man knows that once open the door, believing God is something coming out. So, it's not getting inside, but just open the door and then believing God is good. This time, I don't feel anything. You can come in. So he's kind of curious, and also very insecure. He just bring me into the, you know, the my. His stores are pouring inside, or something happened to me. You know, so he's very insecure. And I could getting, you know, walk into the place, and then he explained to the, you know, the Christians. A man says, "I'm a fortune teller, but even I cannot handle my life. This issue is, there's a family issue. I struggle for a while, and I am great stress out of this. So if there's a true God, maybe that what you're saying, that, you know, believing God is good, bring me to your church. See what happened. So this is how he come into the church. So once they come into the church, then he, once in a while, he attended this nice service. The one by one, he opened the Bible, and he read the scriptures. It makes a difference. It led him to open the new, different, in a spiritual dimension, how wonderful it is. He eventually to be convinced. So he convinced at the end up to become a Christian. So as the man's Christian's wish, this fortune teller house was removed by the love of God. So we find out believing God is great. Believing God is good. That we have to explain to us why. And for us to be convinced, believing God is good. Otherwise, if we're not convinced, then we cannot sell it. Do you know the Amway or the Herbalife and is it Market America? Yes. My wife have gone through quite some and then end up fail everything. But the product, I'm telling you, the product is quite good. The product is quite good. We approach the customer is first you use it. First you use it. So you can feel that you have a confidence about this product. If the product is good, then you can introduce your friends. Because they have a confidence about their product, instead of bring the produce to the wholesale to the retail store, instead of the directly, that's called, you know, direct marketings. But way they approach to the customer is first you use it, so you can feel confidence about it. Preaching the gospel is very similar way. We need to have a substance that it is a blessing for us. So I'll introduce to you, you know, this kind of, otherwise, right away, you know, you open the John chapter 3, verse 5, nowadays don't listen to it. This is too much, we can say, unless you're born with the water and spirit, you cannot enter the heavenly kingdoms. And this way you go to hell, then they don't believe in God right away. So you have to explain to them, believing God is wonderful. So that at least we can explain to them, then it really, really good. Anybody can bring up anything that about, you know, believing God is a blessing? Since you listen to the Monday, the Sabbath morning service, you listen now, you can bring up something this, you know, the afternoon, sir, so we can discuss about it. And in Chicago, I always, Saturday afternoon, I don't deliver the messages. We actually sit around, we talk about it, yeah. So otherwise, half of them sleeping anyway. So afternoon is a good time. After lunch, it's good to can talk about it. So it is a benefit to us, really. Because most of our members come to church. Morning service can bring the attention, but after the lunch, afternoon is pretty much message the lullaby. And also, our church members very, in a sense, we do not express it. So we're saying is don't say anything is considered very humble-minded, is highly valued. So anything questioned, then don't speak, that's best. Because, you know, it's good to, you can bring up something, you can think about it, and it's good to, you can participate it, so that it benefit, the interaction is really helping us. So we find out the Christian value. Have you noticed that last week what afternoon service was? Do you remember? How about 2 weeks before the Sabbath morning service? Can you remember? Mostly don't remember. When I attend the NYTS, well, thank God, and end up after several months passed, I cannot remember anything, really. Oh, I know, I prayed there morning, at lunch, afternoon prayer, night prayer. I remember I prayed there. But then, I hope because you can, can have, you put your effort to can talk about it. Really good, yeah. I know that this formation is very hard to discuss. It seems like, so in Chicago we have the church's design is the first is a chapel, as a chapel, the basement, we have a dining. We actually surround it, we surround together, we discuss about it. When, before the Chicago church, I was in Phoenix. I changed the formation, afternoon is a Bible sharing and discussion sessions. So we can have a, instead of the service, we have a discussion. And so sharing way of session, and at least the other member have a chance and then can express your reflection and understanding. So it can be benefit to us. Why is a blessing of believing God? I'd like your input, so we can talk about it. Anything will be fine. Why believing God is a blessing? Please help me. So when you preach the gospel, you think about when you preach the gospel, believing God is so blessing in my life because dun 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 dun. That's your choice to, yeah. Believing God is good. Anybody? You think about it. Believing God is good. Yes.
When you're a child of God, the Father takes care of you, protects you from yourself sometimes,
uh-huh.
Protects you from Satan,
mm-hmm.
And makes your life easier.
Make life easier.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think I first mentioned that we become a children of God. We become a children of God. Children of God is identity. So how you can identify yourself as a your identity is very precious. Christians, it means the children of God. Children of God, what kind of children of God? You become a firstborn. Firstborns of blessing. In the entire Bible, it's talking about the blessing of the firstborns. We can see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is all the firstborns line. This is not it's not a man's line, but it is God's line. It coming from the love of God. And please turn to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians chapter 3, verse from 26 to 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Believing God is wonderful because we can find out a blessing out of to be the children of God. And here mentioned how we can be the, with the faith, we can be baptized so that we can be the children of God. What is the children of God is so gracious because become Abraham's offspring. It is not possible with the human way, but possible with the Christ. The ones who belong to our life, Christ and Abraham's offspring, then heir according to the promise, which is the promise of the kingdom of God, inherit the kingdom of God. Then the children of God, it's a status given us, not only as a the children of God. Bible telling us a lot of issue about our status, that we are like a royal priesthood, and that we are a chosen race, and we belongs to God, and all the status we can explain about our blessing. It really precious. It mentioned about the here, 29, heir according to promise. It's talking about the firstborns. Firstborn's blessing. Please turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriad of angels, to the general assembly of church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of righteous men made perfect. The writer of Hebrew mentioned that we as the assembly of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Our joy is coming from not because of we are great, because our name is the register. Please turn to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Jesus mentioned that our rejoice means because of what we receive the blessing from God is rejoice is your name are recorded in heavens. That's our rejoice, I can say, yeah. Anything else that you have think about, you know, blessing of believing God? Yes. I think you point a very important point. We're born in this world, we've grown up, and everybody just follow the same pattern or same structure of life because we finished the, you know, elementary, junior high, high school, and everybody go to high school, college, so I go to college, and we're looking for computer, which college is great, and then after finish college, we get a job, everybody work, and I work too. Until when? What, you know? But people, they really think about their life. What if after that? What if after that? There's this man is the man of very ambitious, we can say. This man is very, he wants to be a successful life. But one day, but yet, he doesn't have enough the tuitions in his account. So he knows it's good to go to college. He already accepted by it in a college entrance, but he wants to gather some enough so that he can pay the tuition so they can enroll to school, the college. And he was so disappointed himself, not enough. But one day, so he passing through the church, and then he walk into the church, and it's an old time story actually. And then the priest inside, and he met the priest said, my life, I have a very, I want to have a successful life. I'm able because I work very hard, I study very hard. So I entered a very good college now, but I don't have enough tuitions. I hope you can help me so that I can pay the tuition so I can study, continue some my life to be, you know, to be successful there. I'm not like, you know, loser's life. I'm very work hard. I study hard. So I got all the A, all the classes. And then priest asked him, oh, since you are very ambitious, I can tell, I'll help you. But after college, what are you going to do? And then he says, after college, I want to be the judges, and I want to, you know, to explain about the life. But after judge, what are you going to do then? Yes, because I have a status, and then also I have a good job, then I can meet the lady for my wife. I said, well, that's very good, huh? After you meet your wife to get wed, then what are you going to do? Then they save money. I want to buy a nice house, and then I'll live with my wife happily. And then, I said, after that, what then? I think several children may be good. And so I have several children in my life. Then it's wonderful. Then I have everything. I have money, I have a family, I have a wife and children. Maybe I have a wonderful job. I think that's a wonderful life, huh? Then after you have children, then what are you going to do? And then I keep asking to this young man, keep on approaching toward to the end. So after that, what are you going to do? After that, what are you going to do? And so keep asking that, so that he kept answer for the questions. And I find out, and so, oh, after the age, after 60s, now I'm going to retire. After you retire, what are you going to do? He can keep on thinking about it, deeper and deeper into it. What if then? And then final answer is, then I died. Then I died. Is that your goal? Is that your ultimate, your life purpose? We think about it, if there's no God, if within our life there's no God, then life is meaningless, actually. Maybe we can, when you are very, you know, 20, 30, 40s, life is very, we can say, golden times, you know, physically and mentally, and education, we equipped everything in a sense, and then we people fighting for the job, fighting for the position, and fighting for the whatever things, and climb up on the top, find out, turn out to be empty-handed. When Solomon in his life, he tried, God gave him all the wisdom, God provided everything, even the wisdom in his life, power in his hands, but end up he find a vanity. There's no purpose. He find out, especially after he turn away from God. Even God show up to him 2 times, you have to turn back to God. But because of all the women, and from the 14 women and the influenced, he started worship the idols. There's no God in his life. He find out under the sun, everything is vanity. It's chasing after the winds, there's nothing there. He find out, he know that there's nothing, because no purpose in his life. He was empty-handed. He grabbed it empty-handed. But later, we know the book of Ecclesiastes, he made a conclusion for the life in this way. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. Remember also your creators in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Verse 13. So he made a conclusion of all the things in this word. The conclusions, verse 13, when all has been heard, it is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So he find out the meaning of life out of God, even though he was stripped away in his life. We know the life purpose is very precious. Many people, they're young, but they don't know. They think they just compete with others. What is, I'm better than others, they consider so satisfied. It's not true. Once they reach to like 40 and 50, it's totally different. After become a 50, I learned that. Few months ago, my knees start have a problem. This is the first time in my life, knee problems. Before I just was so, whatever, down to the, the stair, no problem. My living, no problem. Now I don't do that. Because anything that times a problem, that it goes quite long. And then because of knee problems, I see that, the Chinese herb doctor, is there anything getting better or, maybe a little bit better. Don't think that it can recover because you don't have a deposit. You don't have a balance, which means between the bone to bone, it worn out. So there's no way you can be beat like that. So from now, you have to careful that. When you walk down, please, holding the side of, what is a beam there, so you can secure yourself. Now I learned that why all people holding that, next, just step by step down so carefully. And after I got this diabetic condition, I learned that, oh, that's a life. Before I eat everything, whatever, I like it, but now it's different. It's a life, it's different dimensions. We have to remember, life, we think in this world we can get a lot of things, and end up what I have it, but remember, we cannot bring anything to our coffin. We cannot. Coffin size is always the same, whether rich man's or poor man's. Well, coffin quality may be different, but who cares, But size is all same. We have to learn that. So if we find that the meaning of life within in the flesh, empty-handed actually, And also, nobody follow with us too. Wife, you want to go with me? Nobody say, yes, I want to follow you. Nobody saying that. We have to go alone. That's a life. That's a life fact. But Bible give us a purpose in our life. Don't think that there's no purpose in our life. When we come to this world, you think about it, come to this world, if you believe that God designed your body, if this body has come from God, of course, we came from the parents, but who designed us? God designed us. Then there's a purpose. If we cannot find out the purpose, then consider we are very foolish men. Maybe we can accomplish a lot of things in this world, but who cares? After we die, nobody remembers. One thing I learned, that nobody remembers. I thought about my grandfather, who is, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they have done it. I think one time my father talked about, but I don't know. That's a life. Please turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Any volunteer read out for this verse? Thank you. Verse 10 says, "For we are His craftsmanship. God designed us. He make our life to be wonderfully designed us. Don't you think? Thank God. During the SS, you talk to the children. They say, don't you think your life is so precious? Don't you think because you're a man? If you're like your pet in your home, this life is not that good. Stay have a life." Because God created us a man. You have to appreciate it. Especially life within a man, you have to appreciate it. Because why? God designed us. Also, God implanted His image within us. That's why it's so precious. Don't think that because you are not that smart, so you're disappointed. No. You are masterpiece of God. God designed you to your purpose. It's not God designed us, everybody have a number one, Our nature of our human nature said in this world is anybody who number one say yeah, but nobody really think about the people who cannot be the number ones. They are the one creation of God. But the thing is, who is more precious, the one who number one, but maybe middle of there, but that person who acknowledge God, is different. Who is number one in the sight of God? the one who acknowledged God. That person is the one, truly the number ones. Number one is not the number one in the class, number one in the school, but who acknowledged God. Yeah. Here, Ephesians 2, the Paul mentioned that we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works. If we do, if we are tempted by the evil work, we know that, our conscience know that, anything that we touch upon, that work that our hands approach, our feet is approach, our heart is, our mind is approached to the wrong thing. We know that actually, but we let it go, then sin come into our life then. Because we don't do the good work, then evil start to come in our life, slowly control us. Bible Jesus mentioned about drinking and marrying and eatings. What's wrong? It is good things. But if there's no God within there, all the things are evils. We know that during the time of Noah's time, God look at the people. All these people always think about the evil, their heart. Is it because they always think about killing other people? No. There's no God in their life. Because they deviate from the purpose of given life. That is the evils. So evil, evil, that means all the gentle, they are the only evil. Sometimes we are the evil too. Yeah. Many times we have to think about it. When we turn on the internet, when we're doing the smartphones, well, anything. So when we are in the situations, if God is, we do not respect at the moment, then we are engaged in, this is actually deviate from the purpose of God. Then it is evil things turn to be. And then it deviate from the purpose of our life. So purpose of our life is good work. Good work is the glory of God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Instead of that, where is it? Not the 45, I'm sorry. Where is the words? We purpose for his glory. Anybody? Mention about. Yeah, 43. Isaiah 43, I'm sorry. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. The God says, everyone who is called by my name, because we are all called by his name. We are not the outsider. We are in. We are the children of God, and whom I have. God says, He has created for His glory. So our life as a purpose is very one thing for sure. As long as what we're doing is the glory of God, this life is precious. Pastors always glorify the name of God. It's not true, you know. That is not true. If we're seeking for my own glory, maybe benefit to you, but for me, it's not benefit to me. It only to turn to me, destroy my faith. You know, the King Saul, when he destroyed the Amalekite, God asked him to utterly kill them. But he didn't kill all of them. He saved some. Our appearance, his victory. But in himself, he destroyed himself. So God rejected him too. So we have to find out the purpose of life. Everybody has own purpose. Don't think that you have no any gift. Don't think that. Each one of you is so precious in the sight of God. Once you do your part, everything turns to be within there. God see, people can see the glory of God. Because God, you know, the Lord Jesus says to us, you are the salt of the earth, light of the world. You are the ones, actually. Be the one of them. And then fit the purpose of God, then this is the glory of God. But many people do not recognize it nowadays. Once they find out their identity come from their positions, their education, how they have, you know, what they've done, what they have done in this world. That's their identity, which is in the name or called as a, you know, the name card. But for us, different. The Christian purpose is so precious. Especially nowadays, people do not recognize their identity. They don't. They cannot define the purpose. We can introduce them. But first, we find out ourselves. It is precious. Yeah. Anybody want to share a reflection of that? Good thing is nobody, you know, it's everybody just awake. So thank God. I cannot see clearly because this magnifying glasses. Whether it's good, good thing is, you know, so I cannot see everybody, but it's not bad actually. Yes.
I have a, actually, I have a question.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I remember you said one time, when someone baptized, that doesn't mean they will go to heaven. That doesn't mean they will guarantee go to heaven because they are not doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Don't go to heaven?
Yeah. Let's say after they baptize, they sin. Okay? So that means that person is not going to go to heaven.
Mm.
So where in the Bible said that?
Good.
After they baptize and they sin. And then where in the Bible say that they cannot go to heaven?
Okay. Well, I cannot remember, but just assume that I said it. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. 4 to 6. For in the case of chapter 6, verse 4, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gifts and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, verse 6, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves, the sons of God, and put him to open shames. So here, the verse 4 mentions, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, which those who receive the grace of God, which is the salvation into their life, and then they purposely, that they, verse 6, then have fallen away. We're talking about their heart purposely walk away from God. That no one this one cannot. Even the repentance even mentioned that might have no hope. Yeah, it's we cannot just only the certain people as a wise example. You are the one. It's hard to say, but their conscience knows that. I don't want to define that you are the one to do that. You are the one of these categories, but I do not know their hearts. Some of them maybe heart that have a full, you know, want to go back to God because their heart is God, just, you know, have a mercy unto them But I cannot, I myself do not want to judge upon them. But this is the word according to this word. I clearly mentioned that. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26. 26 and 27. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remain a sacrifice for sins, 27, but a certain terrifying the expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire which will consume the adversary. So the sin that, here the verse 26 says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. The person received the word of God, they received the salvation, but sinning willfully. This is sinning willfully, purposely, which is against the Holy Spirit. Then have no hope for the person, you can say. You know, Old Testament time, if people accidentally or somehow kill the person, then this person can run into the city of refuge. There's six cities located, and people do have because, you know, according to the Old Testament, these people, family can go to kill the person who killed the one who killed the one. Can do that, you know, Old Testament wise. So you go to the city of refuge, wait until the person die even. And also, once you clear out, if the sin is to not willfully kill the person, then this one can be free. No one can touch upon him. But this person willfully killed is different than have to facing the judgments. Then. So there's we can say, even Old Testament time, that there's a degree of the, we can say, red lines. Even Old Testament time. Yeah. But God's mercy, I don't want to deal with the God's mercy because that's up to God. But that's a general guide, we can say. So, and also in the New Testament time, some people, they fail to reach to the salvation because willingly they walk away from God. Yeah. So even Paul mentioned about several of those peoples. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, 19, 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, 19. Keeping faith and good conscience, the which some have rejected and suffer the shipwreck in regard to their faith. 20. Among these are other Hermas, Alexander, who I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. And the point mentioned about during the time of some people purposely, willfully against God, which is describing as the shipwreck, which cannot be recovered, which is the way. Paul also describe of this way. So we are, if we Christians don't think that we are perfect anyway, we commit sin, yes. Sometimes our heart, we know that. Sometimes we're tempted, and sometimes we're trying to, trying to compromise to. But what we're going to do? We can come to the Lord, repent. This repent is a truly work. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 7. Verse 7 to 10. Okay. Any volunteer to read out? First John chapter 1, verse 7 to 10.
So if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
No one can say have no sin, even the Christian, because we are we have a flesh within us. If we can, that's why the God's grace is so precious, and the salvation by His grace is precious. It's not because of our deed, because it's love that we can be saved on the last day. So, but the thing is, our Christian direction is important. If I direct toward to the Lord Jesus, even our weak, I can falling maybe, but I can stay stand up. But turn away from God purposely, toward to the, you know, opposite direction to go, then there's no, even though God want to give us a mercy, but we walk away from God, then there is a mercy that cannot be reached to the person. Hopefully it makes sense to you though. Yeah. Is that? The one thing also too, I just let you know, the another thing is if anybody has committed sins, what our attitude to be? That's very important part of our attitude, and as in the church. We don't have to condemn the person. Why? Why we have to condemn the person? We can pray for them. We have to pray for them. God give mercy, you know, upon to that person. I find out the one, you know, when the David had committed sin? He seriously committed sin. I think Second Samuel, around 12, around there. At that time, God calling Nathan, go to talk to David. At that time, Nathan knows inside the story about what David has done it. So already he received the word from God. So he knows what's going on. So he was wise enough. Can you tell? When he walked into the David, he's not condemned the David. Have you noticed that? It was amazing. I thought about it. It is amazing. If I am the prophet, I am the such like me, foolish prophet at that time, I was there, and I go to David. I received the word from God. You are the sinners. You're condemned to death. You're stoned to death, you're supposed to. See such and such a sin you committed. You can say that. But Nathan doesn't do that. He brought the story. And then he brought the story. He make a story about the rich man's and the poor man's who are lame. And the poor man's a lot that the traveler came to visit. But the rich man's, you know, forced to take over one of the lambs from the poor person's. And then the David says, this man surely died. And also have to pay the four times. At that time, Nathan says, since you condemn it, that's you. Since you condemn it, that's you. So who condemned it? Actually, David himself condemned himself. The only thing is Nathan says, that's you. He just find out it for him. It is wonderful wisdom. And then explained, this is the sin that you commit. God said to you, this. And then he repent right away. So God already gave him a word. If he repent, I will save his life. So he conveyed the message. Since you repent, God save your life. But all the consequences, you have to receive it anyway. But still, God forgive you. And he explained to him. So we could, as a Christian's life, we are in a kind of condition in the church. If anybody will commit sin, we have to pray for them. And also the king, if you know King Ahab, when he took over the vineyard, forced to, and then he killed Naboth because his wife Jezebel, you know, they made a plot. But right away, the word of God came upon to Elijah, I surely kill him. But at that time, he changed his mind, he repent. And God accept even his sinners repent. So because we are now, we can say, Our duty, you can say, as Christians, we have to pray for them. Sincerely pray for them. God's mercy. God's mercy, we cannot decide it. Don't you think we decide his mercy? God, don't give him mercy. Or you give him a lot of mercy. He's good. No. Only God can decide it. Don't you think so? We can decide it. No, we cannot decide it. Mercy is upon God. But some people mention, this one can be saved or they can't be saved. Well, I'm not God. I don't know. But hopefully God can, God's mercy upon to them. Right? But if we are truly a person with a full of love and care, pray for them. Truly. As an intermediary, between God and even that person, can pray for them. Just like Jesus prayed for us, still now for us, the same way. This is Christian life. I'm sorry, just a little bit. It makes sense? About 5 more minutes, we can finish and then we can have a 15-minute prayer. Anybody have a comment or any final questions? Because this class is designed for yourself. It's not for myself. So I'm trying to provide, but it benefit to us, then thank God, But yet, don't ask any difficult question. I'm not the good one, so. Don't test me, okay? Because I'm not that good. I'm telling you beforehand, sir. Among the past, I'm the least. I'm telling you, sir. Don't make me hard time, sir. Any final you have? Praise and thank God that we can, before we bring up any difficult question, we have to wrap up here for the afternoon session. I think today, what we talk about, the blessing of believing God, and we talk about our identity. Paul mentioned about the Son of God. It is precious. Status is precious. We cannot see it, but spiritually, we are very precious, our status. Not just the Son of God, but we are the firstborn. If we talk about the firstborn, I think one time we talked about, but I don't know. Firstborn is the concept of bring the entire Old Testament, actually. The Levites actually the firstborn, the substitute of the firstborn. The New Testament time, Hebrews chapter 9, the one in the inside of the ark, the Aaron's Lord, it is a concept of first sons. Concept. Everlasting, this status. You and I, we know that our status is higher than angel, right? I just thought about sometimes, it's so exciting, because I go to heaven later, when Jesus' second coming, and we resurrect from the death, or maybe now is nobody, so, I'm not a rich man, but on the last day, his second coming, everything is changed. You can think about it. This life is passing by, but the life comes everlasting. God bring us a status as a royal priesthood, which is bring us to the Son of God. Hey, that's amazing. And also all the angels serving us. It is wonderful. I love it. One day I want to see that all the angels serve me. Don't you think so? It is wonderful. Yes. That's what I hope. That's why the 1 Peter chapter 1 says, maybe we can have our life with a lot of afflictions. A lot of come upon all difficulties. But rejoice. Outcome is salvation. How wonderful it is. This is our status. That's our future. It's a given future. Be rejoiced. If you have any problem today in your life, in your business, or anything, don't be put too much depressed on it. That's only temporary. That's okay. Tomorrow, just things happen, but as long as you're alive, then thank God, Anything to eat, thank God, The important thing is the future. Kingdom of God, we are inherited. Wonderful blessing. And I was talking about this, Sister Anne mentioned about it. Our purpose, our life, in this life, a given life, and glorify God. Don't think that only the, church pastor do a lot of church work. No. Church pay me too. So all this discounted actually. But once you work for God, This one not discounted because everything is put in the pile in the kingdom of God. It's saving account. But I had duty, I have to do it. Even in this world, as ethical issue wise. But I have to do more than it can be saving in the kingdom of God. But for you, anything you do it, that's already being credited. How wonderful it is. Do your life. Not only the pastor, but your little bit contribution to God, that becomes your credit. Purpose of our life, to glorify the name of God. Good work. That could consider. When we're helping our children, I thought about it. We have children, we take care of our children with the heart of God. Take care of our children lead the children to the God. That is God's work, I realize. Because children is not belongs to me. Because children belongs to God. Is it I made it? I designed it? No. God designed it. God made it. Don't you think so? As a parent, if I design, I don't think I design like my son and my daughter that way. But God designed them. Totally different. I realized, how come my son like this? How come my daughter like this? Because God designed them. Unique. But I helping them for God's purpose, then it's a good work. It's glorify the name of God. That's the purpose of life. Thank you so much for your questions. And hopefully it helps you. Since we have this topic, after next week, we can have it one more time. We can have it. There's a lot of things, actually. But please, you can remember for these questions, blessing of believing God. If you have bring the best is you can give me first. Then I can prepare. But otherwise, still, we can do it together. God's blessing. Let's sing him. 399.